All right. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right, let's do it. God damn it. Every week.
Do you like movie podcasts hosted by inebriated people? That's Kai with the cracking voice and Heather's touched by evil. One thinks he's Spider-Man, the other is a ninja. It's the Man I Love Films podcast, it's the MILFcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to MILFcast. This is the Men I Love Films podcast where we don't do movie reviews. Nope, it's a place where people like films get together and deal with that ish. I'm your host, Kai. Joining me, as always, mainly as part of a court order, it is my co-host, Heather Baxendale. Say hello, Heather.
Hello. It makes me wonder exactly what a person would have had to have done in order to be stuck to me for 7-8 years as punishment.
Well, marriage would be one thing. I feel like it would be pretty bad, though, because it feels pretty bad. Hey, let's spend a moment with you.
And now it's time for A Moment with Heather.
Psych! We're not just spending a moment with Heather this week. We're spending an entire episode with Heather. That's correct. For those of you guys that don't know, this is our 100th episode. It's quite a milestone. It's taken us 7 years. We did have a little brief hiatus in the middle, if you want to call a couple years brief. But we managed to do it. It's 100 episodes. Congratulations. High five, Heather.
High five! He can actually see me do that because we get to actually have video chat, so I'm going to really mess up the show.
Yeah, she's going to fuck it up royally, especially being the only guest, unless you count the personalities in her head. Anyway, so what we've done is the show's going to be kind of similar. If you've never listened to the show before, please go back and listen to one of our older episodes, because this one and the one we just did prior to this are not traditional shows. We've been kind of like enjoying the fact that we reached this milestone and we want to celebrate a little bit, so it's going to be kind of a little bit of a different one as our last episode was. We will be getting back to normal in our following episode in 2 weeks. So, like I said, you never listen, go back and check out how we do the show, and be glad that you don't have to see Heather's feet on a camera right now. Anyway, to celebrate 100, we had some friends that sent us some really cool little, like, messages that I'm going to sprinkle in through the show. So here's our first one. Comes from across the pond from former guest and friend of ours, Andy Hart. So let's play that now.
Hey guys, it's Andy from Fandango Groover's Movie Blog. Just wanted to stop by to say congratulations on the 100th episode. I've been listening from the start and look forward to every episode. Always great to spend a moment with Kai and listen to Heather get the rules to the game wrong. Had a blast a couple of times you invited me on as a guest as well. Love you guys. Keep up the good work. Bye.
What did you think of that, Heather?
I thought it was fantastic.
You didn't hear it. We haven't listened to them. I was calling her out on her bullshit. We decided not to listen to them. We will hear them for the first time on the show. But I thank you for playing along once in your life.
I try occasionally, just not when I'm supposed to, apparently. I don't understand the cues properly. I would like to add that Andy Hart did add a little message with his message, though, that said, Heather was right and Kai's always wrong. Because he did know me before you.
Nobody fucking cares. Why are we even talking about this right yet? Nobody cares but you.
I know. I do what I want.
All right. So for those of you who don't know, we're going to do the Series 7, a very special edition of the Series 7. We're going to play the game. I get to play the game. But before we do all that, we'd like to talk about what we've been watching.
What have you seen lately?
So Heather's been watching comedies, apparently. Heather, is there a comedy film you've seen recently that you feel compelled to speak of?
I watched Saw 3 with Brosnan. Or Saw 3 of the Saw movies with Brosnan. He likes...
Wait. You saw Saw 3 or you saw 3 of the Saw movies? This is like a fucking riddle right now. And by the
it
way,
is.
I thought you said you watched comedies.
They were, but I don't think they were supposed to be.
So what did you watch?
So I watched 3 of the Saw movies, including Saw 3. So, wee!
So, 1, 2, and 3.
I meant both things. Yes.
Okay.
I've seen the first one before, but it was a long time ago, and I liked it. I thought it was pretty good, and I'm not into, like, the big torture porn crap, so I just have never really had any interest to continue with it, even though I didn't think the first one was that gory or anything. And I don't mind gore, I just get bored with it. But Braz likes, like, scary for him is, like, Paranormal Activity type movies, some of the stuff that you like.
Mm-hmm.
He likes anything with ghosts, freaks him the heck out. But he's never gone in this kind of direction before, so I figured this would be a safe one to start with, and then we progressed. And I like the first one still. Still pretty good. The second one was just one of those movies that I sit there and have anxiety going, why are stupid people ruining everything?
Mm-hmm.
Why are there stupid people? And then the third one, I didn't even want to finish it, because by the end, they were playing too hard on these, like, gimmicks. Well, they didn't start off as gimmicks, but they became gimmicks.
Yeah.
one of the things I like about these movies, at least, is that there is some kind of mystery and stuff to figure out. And then it was just like, well, this was the ending. Psych. I mean, they Scooby-Dooed us like four times. Dilly-doo, dilly-doo, dilly-doo. And that sucked. And then the horror was just gratuitous, but for no point, but to be gory. It had no point to it. So I was just like, nah.
I think the first one is a great movie. And I say this often. Mm-hmm. I don't consider it a horror movie. I consider it a thriller in the vein of something darker like Silence of the Lambs or something like that. Maybe not Oscar-worthy, and there is gore. Maybe Seven is a better comparison, because I don't consider Seven a horror film, but there's some gory aspects to it. Very similar in that regard. I think Saw 2 is a very good follow-up. It's an interesting sequel with a good ending twist. Donnie Wahlberg gets to be a lead star for like a minute. That's great. Fine. I don't mind it. 3 is where it starts just bowling balling. Jesus, we need something for when I can't say words. Snowballing, when it just starts snowballing into like worse and worse, gorier and gorier. So I'm kind of with you, but I think the first one's brilliant.
First one's great. I liked it. I think I might have liked it more this time, but I agree with you. I'm like, yeah, this is well, and that's one of the reasons I showed Bras. I thought, hey, you know what? This isn't as gory. It's not going to be as scary per se. This is a good one to kind of bring him into this side of the horror movies and see if you liked him. And the second one wasn't bad enough that I didn't want to go sit through the third one. Mm-hmm.
So which ones do you recommend? Which ones you don't?
The first one to anyone. Mm-hmm. Anyone. I think if whether you're into horror stuff or not, first one's just a solid movie. Second one, if you like the first one, try it and see if you like it. Mm-hmm. You might not. I don't know if it's your cup of tea. Third one, you're just going to be annoyed.
Okay. Well, let me give you mine. And I'll give you two since you gave me three. How's that? Mm-hmm. I'll go really fast. So I wanted to see the Belco experiment simply for the fact that it was written by James Gunn, who I just like everything he writes. It is Americans working in a foreign country for some sort of company. They get locked inside their building by some faceless group and forced to start killing one another in cycles. Like, you must kill 3 people in the next 30 minutes or 6 will be killed instantly. And it kind of, again, snowballs from there. But there's been this rash of these kind of films where people lock the room, they have to kill people off. There's one on Netflix that's pretty good called, like, The Circle, I think. Anyway, it's a really cool little movie. It has a lot of the go-to guys for Michael Rooker makes an appearance. James Gunn's brother makes an appearance, kind of the people he feathers into a lot of his films. The main guy in it was the guy that was not Mary Elizabeth Winstead or John Goodman in 10 Cloverfield Lane, the third guy, or the other person. Anyway, I thought it was pretty good, kind of interesting. You might like it. You know, it's not groundbreaking or anything. It's kind of been done before. But I really liked it, and I like James Gunn and everything he does, so I recommend it. The other thing I want to talk to, without getting into spoilers real quick, I saw Alien Covenant. Have you seen it? You saw it in theater.
I saw it in the theater, yeah.
Okay, here's what I'm going to say. Best sequel outside of Aliens. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's the best sequel. What's a better sequel in the Aliens franchise than aside from Aliens? Which might
be. Well, I kind of felt that way too. I feel like without getting anything else too, because I have talked about it. But it, I would say it also gave Prometheus a little bit more legitimacy, like. Going back to watch Prometheus now, it'll be more interesting.
Well, I think the fact that Prometheus left so many questions, this was nice in that it was an encapsulated story that kind of like picked up where that left off and set on a new trend. There's things about it I don't like, and I don't want to talk about it right now because it's too fresh. I don't want to spoil it for anyone, and we can talk about it like off the show or whatever. But it felt more like an Aliens film should feel to me. Like,
I agree. The first third, and then the last like 20 minutes or so were just badass.
Yeah, it was pretty neat. Now, do I have problems with it? Yes. Is saying that it's the best after Aliens mean it's up there with Aliens? No, absolutely not. But it is a fine sequel. There's also, I just want to mention one scene. There is this weird scene where Michael Fassbender is teaching Michael Fassbender how to play what looks like a skin flute, and it's very weird and homoerotic. And I don't have a problem with homosexuality. I just don't understand the scene and where it came from. It's very strange. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do know what you're talking about. I feel like it was just kind of like messing with the special effects of how, like, look how amazing it is. Mm-hmm. And I think because it was more focused on what they could do with it and less on the intent of what they were accomplishing with the scene, it came out that way. Mm-hmm. Because I felt that too, which I didn't have a problem with if it had a purpose.
Yeah.
Because it was kind of like creepy sexy almost. I like shit that makes me feel uncomfortable like that. But but it didn't serve any purpose to the story, I didn't think, or the relationship between David's.
Yes, or Justin's, or John, or Ron, or Greg, or whatever the hell the other one's called. Anyway.
Walter.
I would recommend it. And the last thing I want to say about this, they had a contest, an art contest. So the winner of the art contest was not only going to win all this shit, but they were going to have their drawing put on the cover of the Walmart exclusive Aliens, Alien Covenant Blu-ray. I was just figuring out how to do digital photography art when it was coming out. I started working on something. I showed you a couple of pictures of what I was doing at the time, and I messed up the deadline dates. So I thought I had a week, and it turned out to be a day, and I couldn't get it done, didn't get in. So I went last week, and I Googled to see who won, and I am super bummed I didn't finish because I think I could have done better, and I'm so mad at myself. It drives me crazy, and I could have got a bunch of free shit.
Free shit would have been good.
Free shit's always good.
And winning is fun.
Yeah. And
I saw some of the stuff you were doing. It was awesome.
Yeah, I know. I still might need to finish it and put it out there. Anyway, this brings us to the end of what we've been watching. It's time to get into a very special edition of the Series 7. Let's do that now.
Hey, you better listen up. It's time for the Series 7, so shut the fuck up.
All right, we're going to do Series 7. Before we do that, though, let's sprinkle in another one of those messages that our friends have sent us. This one's from former guest and future guest, very soon, DJ Valentine. Check it out.
Julie here from the Simplistic Reviews podcast, congratulating the MILFcast on 100 episodes. All made without having one person from our show as a guest. Bunch of jerks.
Hey, wait a second, Julie. I've been on the MILFcast before. Twice, in fact. Dare I say I nailed it.
Hold on. You guys had DJ Valentine on?
Yep.
He's a joke.
That's right. Wait, what?
Special K and Heather B, here's to hoping you have 100 more episodes, likely without me.
Come on, Julie. Who'd want to hear Kai and Heather talk to an artificially intelligent, gender-neutral automaton over a living, breathing woman?
Let me see. Chauvinistic Doctor Who fans?
Okay, you got me there.
All right, DJ, thank you for doing that for us. I love DJ. He's hilarious. I can't wait to have him back on. That sets us up nicely, I hope, for the Series 7. The Series 7 is basically this. We typically ask 7 film-related questions meant to generate discussion and opinion on film. They're very random. We have the theory that you can do whatever, or we say that you can do whatever you want with it. You want to take it as humor. You want to be serious. You want to be sad. I don't really care. Just say something interesting. However, it's episode 100, and we wanted to be a little more personal. So Heather and I, instead of saying just 7 questions and everybody gives their answer, Heather and I have written 7 questions for each other, and we made them a little more personal. Now, I think you stole a couple of mine, you lazy fucker.
I tried not to, but I was thinking about stuff kind of like that, and then you asked better than I wanted to ask, too, and I was annoyed. But there were some that were in my head, and you asked them, and then I was like, yeah, I want to ask him that shit, too.
So you
particularly just... my boner question.
By the way, some of your questions turned into like 4 questions, but we'll get through that. Anyway, do you want to go first? Do you want me to ask you first? Do you want to ask me first? How do you want to do this?
You can ask me first because I forgot to bring them up.
Jesus. All right. Let's start with you. This one has a bonus question too. Okay. So first of all, I think everybody would like to know how much of your personality on the show is truly you and how much of it is you playing it up for the show. And the bonus question is, what do you think listeners most dislike about you and your personality when they listen to the show? And I say that admitting that I think everybody loves you. But I listen to radio shows that I like, and they do things that drive me nuts. You know what I mean? So
Yeah, and after you listen to someone for a while, people get on your nerves, or little weird things get on your nerves, little quirks or stuff people do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm a butt-ummer. When I'm thinking, I'll butt-um.
Oh, wait.
And if you watch How I Met Your Mother, yeah, I'm that girl. So, if we wanted to start another drinking game, I bet you could get pretty drunk off of Heather butt-umming during a show.
I think at this point you should just, like, shotgun vodka bottles with your nose pinched if you're trying to do a drinking game to the show, because we've set so many fucking rules in place, you can't really get a breath in.
You've at least stopped Now let me ask you this, because that was always my favorite.
Okay, answer your fucking question. How much of your much of this is truly Heather, and how much is you playing it up?
Most of it is me. It really is. I'm kind of a nut job, and I just say whatever's on my mind. I don't have a filter at all. I mean what I say, and I say what I mean. So it's kind of me, and I'm definitely just as goofy and weird. So that's how it comes out. I know some of my faults on the show. One of them that's big that I notice that I do, and I don't do it on purpose, is I interrupt. I get excited sometimes, though, and I'll lose whatever freaking things in my head if I don't blurt it out, but I'm like a fucking child. I'll just, and it's like diarrhea mouth, and then there it is.
Well,
and the other thing...
But wait. I just want to say, I'll interrupt you. Part of that is... If people don't understand, they've never done a podcast. Part of that is Skype. Like, we're not in the same room. Heather's in Michigan, and I'm in Southern California. Like, and Skype tends to have, like, a mild delay when it's working its best. And you can't, like, we don't typically do video, so you can't see people's mouths. We have people that will come on the show, guests that, like, they need to think before they speak, and sometimes there'll be silences, so we'll go to jump in, and then they'll start to talk, and it's like one of those weird things, like, imagine when you're watching the news, and there's the reporter in the field, and they have that little delay. That's what, like, everything you say is on a show like this. So it's, like, sometimes it's nobody's fault. It might sound like we're being annoying, but it's really just, like, the mechanics of how this works.
Well, and that's true, too. And sometimes if I do it to kind of keep things going or whatever, I'm using my bad habit as an excuse to help the show. That would be a time where I'm being me, but I'm kind of putting it on to make things work.
Yes.
And or I'll fill a gap with Heather shit because someone's being quiet, and I'll just... And sometimes it's funny, and sometimes it's probably really annoying. I mean, I know I'm annoying. I get on my own nerves. I have to live in this brain. All you guys, I have to live here. What I do in general conversation.
I'll say you're probably 90% Heather. Like, it's a high amount. I just ask the question because I want people to know, or I think people may wonder. And, no, you are very, like, fancy free, like, you just are that way. But I think there's times where you turn it up for the purpose of the show, and I think it's great.
Yeah, applied. Right. The other thing I do is tangents, though, and that's because when I talk, I talk in a storytelling manner, and it's circular. I always come back to my point, and I do eventually make it, but sometimes it takes me a really long time to get there, and it works in real life. But it doesn't always work on the podcast because I need to be more brief. And that's one of those things that I am aware of and I'm working on, and I'm trying to make work better for the show. So to make my points more direct.
Okay. Straight line instead of circle. All right. What do you got for me? What's my first question?
Your first question is, after a brief hiatus, what made you decide to bring the party back, especially after you decided that you would continue to be the master of editing? Now, just adding on to this, for everyone that doesn't know, we kind of came back with someone who kind of gave us a, hey, you guys should get together. And we were like, yeah, but Kai did so much of all the technical stuff, all the planning, everything for years and years. You can hear my cat puking in the background right now.
Is that what that is? Wait, let's just listen for a second. Is there more? Or did he get it up?
He doesn't actually puke. It's the saddest thing. He just sits there and coughs like an old man.
Oh, God.
It's okay, Mom.
That's me in 20 years, if I'm lucky.
Come here.
Okay, continue. Yeah.
So anyway, Kai did all of this stuff. So for him to come back and still, I mean, take all this on, which was part of the reason that he took more time away, was because it took a lot of time away from his family and that kind of thing. So that's what I mean by the editing part.
Yeah, I always want to do the podcast. Like I said, my point was my goal was to get to this point, to get to episode 100. I wanted to have 100 hours, or it's probably more 150, but like I wanted 100 hours of doing this, because then I could say I did it, and I did it legitimately. Like, it wasn't no joke. We've had actors on, we've had directors on, we've had writers on. We've done this for a long time, and we have faithful listeners. You know, I like the show, and I like spending time with you. The problem was, yes, I was spending a lot of time, and the hardest thing, I mean, it's one thing to do the booking, it's one thing to get people's schedules in line, it's one thing to write the show, which Heather has taken on helping me with, which has saved me some time, But the editing was a bitch. So I think that what I did, I came back. You have to let go a little bit of your OCD and perfectionism. So I just said, you know, I used to listen to the whole show, and I would edit as I went along, and I would cut out long pauses. I would cut out. Some people say, "You think you're a butt-ummer?" There's some people that will throw like four or five ums in before they get a word out, and I would edit that down. I have learned to just go, you know what, the show is what it is, and I think it started before we took the hiatus with the game. At some point, I just said, I'm not editing the game. That was the one thing I used to edit heavily, because sometimes people go quiet for 60 seconds, and you would just have silence, and it doesn't work, and it runs the show long. So we started put a time limit on it to change that, but I just said, I liked when we did that, how we just let the imperfections hang, and if there was silence, we talked through them. So I started doing that. And just going, I will cut in the bumpers, and I will, you know, the errors that we have and the bullshit we talked about before, I can cut that out real quick and just slap it together, and then it's not a big pain in my ass, and it's certainly better. You can burp, Heather. I can see you. You want to.
Oh, it would have been loud. It would have been great.
I figured I didn't want somebody else doing it. I wanted my hands on it, and I would just be less critical of it, and then I've been doing that, and it doesn't seem to take me as long now, so I don't really mind. That's all. Thank you. Nobody gives a shit, but that's my life. All right. Question number two for you. What are your goals for this show? What would you like to see happen with the show? Where will we be? Will we be here in episode 200?
I think we will be. I mean, I certainly hope so. I don't have an end game for the show. Mm-hmm. This is great. If things just stay exactly as they are, too, I'm happy with that. If we do more or things were to happen so we could be more legit, etc., blah, 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 that would be sweet as fuck. And then I would definitely contemplate that as it came before us. But for right now, I mean, I think at least right now at the place I'm in my life, I have just enough time to do what I'm doing for the show. I'd like to get more heavy into the social media part since I, you know, can. But the time it takes to devote, it's a full-time job. And just if I could devote it to the MILFcast. And I would like it to be a part-time job if I could. But right now, that's not in the cards. In the future, maybe. But for right now, I can't.
Well, and you have been active on social media. In fact, I want to thank everybody that listens because we got a shit ton of downloads on our last episode. And we did use social media to promote it, so I'm sure that helped. But we got not only a lot of downloads, a lot of streams, we got a ton of I got a bunch of messages saying how much people liked the last episode. So thank you. Anyway, that's all. And what, so you think we'll be around. Cool. What's
I think so. I don't see why not. The only reason I think we wouldn't be around is if, like, something chaotic or crazy happened in our lives. I mean, I don't see a reason.
Okay. Cool. You going to ask me a question now?
No, I just want to sit here and grow old with you.
That's what it feels like sometimes, I swear.
I know, it is weird. I've known you for almost 10 years.
That's creepy.
I know. Okay, so my second question is, why on earth, and this is one I'm sure a lot of people want to ask you, did you ask me to be your co-host? And why am I still your co-host? And also, who's prettier, me or Dylan?
Really? I'm not even acknowledging the last one. Because you're both fucking ugly.
He's actually going to get his feelings hurt by that. That's the difference between the two of us. I'm going to be like, yeah, that's fine.
Why did I choose you? I don't know. I know that when I started getting into blogging about film to get back in the habit of writing because I didn't know how to do a podcast, I met a lot of different types of personalities. And I'm very fortunate that there was a handful of people that I really glommed onto that I think will be lifelong friends, including you and Dylan, who I'm very close to, even though I don't see you guys in person. I've seen you in person once, and we are very close. We text often. We talk a lot. Dylan and I talk daily, probably. You and I probably talk daily, but there's a handful of people you just click with. And, you know, I've done a side podcast with Dylan that didn't run that long, and I enjoyed talking to him, but I don't know that it was meant to be podcast. You know, for whatever reason, this one feels right. This one feels like my baby, and your personality fits well with what I was trying to do. If anything, it backfired on me because I was supposed to be the fucking wild card. And you turned into the fucking nut job, and I turned into Dean Martin, and you're Jerry Lewis somehow, and supposed to be the other way around, you know?
Yeah, because you're used to being the funny guy.
I am used to – well, I'm still the fucking funny guy.
You still are
funny.
You're just
the fucking nut job, so I got to, like, rein shit in. I feel like teacher sometimes. I'm like, you guys, I'm the cool teacher, but you got to settle down, you know? So, you know, I like what the podcast is, and I like doing it with you, and I don't know why we clicked, but it just made sense to me, and I don't know who else I would have asked, you know?
That's fancy. Mm-hmm. I had a boner question to that, too.
Okay.
And this one I did steal directly from Kai's, because I am curious, because he does love the shit out of himself.
I do.
What do you think that you do that annoys listeners? I said viewers because I'm looking at you.
Okay, first of all, I hate cats, so get that thing off the screen in front of me. I hate cats.
He's not a cat. He's a gray person.
They're demons. Okay.
Judger.
This is an easy question, because I'm married, and my wife listens, so I just wait till the show's over, and she tells me everything I did wrong. So this is basically marriage. I get a lot of you step all over people. Same as you. It's the same thing, that I interrupt or whatever. Sometimes I have to talk over you or the other person. Otherwise, this show will go 2 hours. We have people that will go on and on and on, and you can go on a tangent at times, and I have to get through stuff. Part of the reason we cut a segment from the show was so that we could let people elaborate more, so that wouldn't happen as much, but it does happen. And again, I see the comments earlier about how podcasting over Skype works. It's just sometimes it happens. And then I have a lot of little quirks. I'm loud. There was my let me ask you this phase that used to come out a lot. And I'm sure people think I'm fucking fantastic. I don't know. There's a lot of people out there that probably think I'm hilarious, but I am, so fuck them.
You do.
Yeah. All right.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
We're funny fuckers.
Yeah.
Suck it, listener.
She went straight to a fart take. All right, let's go. Let's go to your question number three.
Okay.
What do we not do or do enough of on the show? Oh, wait, did I read that right? Yeah. What do we not do or do enough of on the show? And what would you change about the show? So what do you like? What don't you like about the show? What would you like more of? What would you like less of? That sort of thing.
This one's kind of hard for me because some of it I've tried to change for me because I thought it would help the show, even though it makes some things less funny for me. Like the Series 7, the show used to be just a lot goofier in general. Mm-hmm. There was definitely a lot more silliness involved. Like the Series 7, at least one of the seven, you and I would come up with some sarcastic bullshit answer. We don't really do that often anymore.
Like, we should.
Yeah. And that's one thing I was thinking. I'm like, I think I did it one of the last episodes where I was finally like, fuck, I'm not going to answer this properly. That's bullshit. And it was the first time I'd done it since I think we came back. Mm-hmm. So that I kind of miss. It doesn't have to be all the time, but I miss that we would actually, because we say you don't have to be serious. You can do whatever you want.
The idea of calling it the Series 7 was supposed to be like sarcasm in and of itself. Like this evolved out of Kai's Always Right, which was a question, same thing. I'd ask seven questions. You guys would give me your answers, and then I'd tell you were wrong, because I'm always right, and the actual answer is blank.
So, and you'd give us ridiculous amount of points or no points. I always got negative points.
Yes. So,
yeah.
Like, that's where it came out, and it was never meant to be serious. Like, it's just, we just wanted to touch on different aspects of film, and we wanted to have fun doing it. So it's just like a guide, really, but you're right. We should be more silly.
Yeah, we should be silly with that, because with the game, we don't have the ability to do that anymore, because we've really had to rein that in for all the reasons that you mentioned earlier. Mm. So, and the problem with that, I think, used to be was that people would sit there and, I know I do it on the spot, I'd rather just give a wrong answer and answer quickly than sit there and think.
Yeah.
And just go, like, BS. Like, I at least, like, when my brother was on, because he just sat there and was like, I don't know the fucking answer, so here you go. Bullshit.
Yeah.
So at least, he was giving answers, which is what I would do. But people don't want to be wrong, mm-hmm. and it sucks, so they'll sit there and think. But it's really hard when you're on the spot. So I think it's good that we sped that part up, because sometimes it would go on and on and on. And you can only interrupt and be funny for so long before it's not funny anymore.
Well, and I will say, we've made changes. Like, if anything, listen to episode 99, you can hear all the bumpers for segments that we don't do anymore. So, like, we just cut one of our big segments, our big four, like, within the last four or five episodes. So, like, it's like Disneyland here, man. Like, just like what Walt wanted. It's always going to be changing and always be something new. But, like, yeah, I feel you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. I don't remember what my next question is, so I'm going to look at it.
She's so not even prepared.
I am prepared. I have answers here.
I know, but, like, okay, we're wrapping up. So grab your phone and get your question ready. But what do? You're like, oh, shit, it's getting quiet. I better, there's my phone. Okay, let me go.
I could have just made another farting noise. That would have been fine.
That's what I expected. Go ahead.
Exactly. Okay, mine is a duplicate of that one. What are the changes or possible future expectations you see and hope for the show? What are things you think we could do better? And what have you learned most from all the years doing this? And this is one that I did want to ask you, too, is what do you think that we're doing good? And what could we change for the future more?
I personally, because of the time we spent as bloggers, we used to get, and I still get offers for like red carpets or like screeners or like get offers for interview opportunities. I would like to, because we've had a handful of guys on here, JC Curry, Blaine Weaver in particular, that I really liked. They were really fun guests that are out there making films and television and stuff. I would like to get some of those because the problem our podcast has, unlike Nerdist, say. Nerdist is one of the bigger podcasts out there. Well, his interview tomorrow might be with Tom Hanks or James Cameron because he has access to that because he's owned by fucking Legendary that's owned by fucking Warner Brothers. And he, like Chris Hardwick, has made a name for himself on AMC and other things and Comic-Con. We don't have that. You need exposure to get exposure. So, what I do have access to is a handful of, like, I wouldn't call them lower tier, but, like, independent filmmakers. There's independent filmmakers. I'd like to bring them into our silliness. I think when they come in and they're serious, we tend to get more silly anyway, which is another thing I'd like to see change, get back to that silliness like you said. But it'd be nice to get some industry people in here and try to make a name because I don't want the show to be just like something two people do in the garage.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I agree.
I don't think that we necessarily are ever going to be like Nerdist or anything, but I think this could be like a fucking show on FM radio on Saturday mornings. Like, I don't see why not. We have bumpers and segments and guests, and it's fun.
And aside from the fact that we both act like maniacs, we actually do know what we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I'd like to see that change. As far as, like, the format of the show, like, we're going to end up – I think the celebrity impression is going to end up going away, but we need to find something to replace it. And we may need to bring it back when we get someone talented like DJ, because like DJ is coming on again in a couple episodes, and he's great at it.
Maybe we should do something where we just let the guests like do some kind of talent of theirs. It could be our little talent show. They have to bring something to us.
I don't
make them uncomfortable. What I like about the celebrity impression is that it makes whoever's on here has to kind of come back down to earth a little. Nobody can be too cool if you're doing an impression unless you're like DJ and you're really good at a lot of them.
Here's the other thing. I wanted to, like, I think it's amazing. I'm choking. That no one ever said no in 100 episodes. We had a couple people try.
Yep.
But everybody did it.
Yep. 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 And even me, the million times that I don't want to do it, yeah. And the second you put me on the spot, I'm going to go to one of my horrible bad ones and they get worse the more that I do them. Because I actually can do a couple halfway okay, but I really have to think about it. Mm-hmm. But I'll still sit there and give in too, even though I know if I really wanted to, I could be like, fuck this shit.
No.
I think it is. I think it's awesome. I agree that maybe we should do something else. I don't know what. But we definitely need something in that vein.
If anything were to go, I could see at some point the game would probably go, and maybe even what you've been watching, and maybe this Series 7 or these discussion points that we do would like expand in some way, and that become the format. But like, I have
The whole show would be a moment with Heather.
Oh, fuck that. Well, then it wouldn't be a moment. First of all, dumbass, it would not be a moment anymore. It'd be an hour with Heather, which is what I call Saturdays. Anyway. I could see that happening, but right now I'm pretty content with everything. But I would like to like focus on the guesting and who we're bringing in. And I don't mind bringing back our friends that do well on the show. Like, they're always fun. Like, we have a couple of repeat visits coming up on the Halloween, DJ, as I mentioned. And we're going to try and get some new blood in here, too. So, you know, that's it for me. Those things. That stuff, Heather. All right. I'm going to ask you a question now.
This isn't a real question, but okay.
For fucking real, Heather. This is three questions. Six words, three questions.
Oh my goodness.
Why ninjas? Why unicorns? Why dragons?
That's not even a question. Like,
yes, it
who
is.
Has to ask why? I mean, how is that even serious at all? I don't believe it. First of all, ninjas are badass. They're the most awesome ever. I don't even remember. It had to have been, like, You know what? Actually, what started my whole ninja thing was playing Tenchu.
Really?
It's the only video game. Like, I'm the asshole in every video game I play where if it's supposed to be a stealthy mission, I start kind of trying to be stealthy. And then I just bring out the big guns and start just murdering everyone. I can't be stealthy in games. But Tenchu was the first game I ever played where I was really good at being stealthy and I actually enjoyed it and embraced it and was a ninja. And it was awesome. I was just this cool assassin. And I think that's kind of where I actually started to kind of get into the whole ninja lore and just started having a ridiculous amount of fun with it and had no idea how goofy it was. Unicorns, I don't have to explain.
Yes, you do. It's a question.
No, they're fucking unicorns.
What is your fucking obsession with unicorns?
I don't know.
Okay. Good answer. Great for a podcast.
I don't have an answer for that one. They're unicorns. They're fucking awesome. I love horses. These are magical horses that have, you know, a stabbing weapon on their forehead. Exactly. It's phallic. You got me. Horse, phallic, beautiful. Magic. Okay. Woo! Dragons, actually, I didn't call the boys dragons forever I haven't called them dragons forever. I called them my little demons for a long time. Mm-hmm. And then after I watched my first season of Game of Thrones, they turned into dragons. It seemed a little nicer, too.
I like that, and I like that in turn you are the mother of dragons. Like, I actually like that about you. And the ninja thing, I'll ask you this, too, because, like, oh, that was almost let me ask you this, but it wasn't. I kind of reworded it, so I slipped it in there. So if you listen to the opening, yada, yada, you know, Heather's a ninja, Kai thinks he's Spider-Man, all that shit. So Spider-Man's my big thing, and I tend to go on the internet by Kiderman. K-A-I is my name. Derman. It rhymes. Figure it out. I wonder if people read it sometimes and go, what's, like, Calderman or some shit? But anyway, so I have noticed that it was a thing I started myself, and now people come up to me and go, hey, Kiderman. My friend's son calls me Kiderman, and he doesn't have internet, any of my social media. Like, it's just a thing that has taken to me. And it's funny because I remember, I think the ninja thing started before we met, maybe not that long before.
It was probably close around the same time, but it was like right before we met. I wasn't like totally there yet.
But you had a picture of yourself in like a ninja gear where it like covered your nose and mouth, and that was
didn't even do that. That was one of those great things that somebody else did and sent to me.
See, that's my point. It's so great. So what we're saying is send us free shit.
Yeah, definitely send us free
Let's
shit.
Let's get back to the free shit thing we were talking about earlier.
Do that. Make up names for me. Do whatever. I have identity crises every 5 minutes.
I have made up so many names for you, and I just sometimes my kids listen, so I gotta be cool about it. All right. So what is my question number 4, Miss Heather?
Okay. And this one I am definitely curious about because I think about it all the time. As objectively as possible, how do you think our show is perceived by others? And how do you describe it to strangers that don't know what a podcast is and don't quite get what we do? People often tell us our show is unique.
This is a 19 paragraph question. Go ahead. Wait, let me get that. Let me bring in the stenographer so I can read it back when you're done.
Well, I can break it down in points. You can answer the first one.
Yes, let's do that. What was it? It was like 20 minutes ago.
I don't remember. It's in front of me. As objectively as possible, how do you think our show is perceived by others?
You know, I think it's perceived many different ways. And I think it depends on who you are. And I think it depends on when you started listening. So people that have been listening since the beginning, like Andy, who did a little bumper for us up front, I think he's a fan of the show. Like, I think he likes our show. I think he thinks it's funny and he likes listening to us. You know, there's people like that. I think that when we were doing blogging, there can be snobby, cynical types out in the world that would never do a podcast of this style. What did you say?
I said Mad Hatter.
Oh, I'm not even going
there.
We
know he's not listening to the fucking
show.
Yeah,
that's true. No. I wasn't even going there. I'm just speaking in generalities, not about anyone in particular, that probably think this show is a little silly by comparison and want to have a more, like, critical show. Like, we say right up front, we're not doing film reviews. Like, we're not here to break down a movie, you know, or give our opinions or talk about whether it's a 10 out of 10 or 5 out of 5 stars or whatever like that. That's not interesting to us. My idea for this came out of other film podcasts that I like. I used to listen to Slash Film, which was like a little bit more mainstream. I listened to Doug Benson's Doug Love Movies, which I love a lot, which is kind of where I wanted to come up with the game and I wanted the show to be funny, but I didn't want to like take his format. And Slash Film, I would always stop listening when they got to the part when they did the film review. So, like, I kind of meshed different podcasts together to come up with this thing. And I think you know, if you started listening around like before, just before our hiatus, you might have like been turned off, because I think we like there was a time in the show where we were drinking a lot and the show was way too silly and it had no order, and I don't know why you would listen. You know what I mean?
No, I didn't. I would occasionally listen to some of our episodes and I was like, I don't even know what's happening anymore.
Yeah, but now I feel like you get like a good. It's just like when I keep bringing up the more like I listen to morning radio a lot, you know, and they will talk about serious stuff, and then they will have funny takes on it too, or they'll do a silly segment, and I like that because I want to be informed, and I want to hear about serious shit that's going on, but I don't want to just be bombarded with it like NPR. So I think that if you come in the show now the way it's structured, and we have interesting guests on, we tend to, I think you would like the show, but I think there's people out there that probably think what we do is a little too silly for them, and, you know, others that don't, they like it. So, you know, fuck the first and you other guys rule. Part two.
That's good. Part two. How do you describe the show to strangers and people that don't know what podcasts are? Because it still astounds me how many people don't know what a fucking podcast is.
Yeah, and I have to, like, the first thing I say is it stands for Man, I Love Films. Like, I have to, yeah. Like, I have to go right away.
I have to say that more specifically than you do.
Yeah. But it's not, yeah, it sounds kind of cocky coming from you. Yeah, I got a podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Called MILFcast.
And I forget about it sometimes. It's like, yeah, I do the MILFcast.
Well, and it's like I have a professional career too, so like there's certain social media I don't like to promote it too much, and there's other where like I keep my personal and professional different. It was meant to be funny and grab your attention. It was never meant to be like obscene, and we had the Man I Love Films thing. We were messing with like Filmcast, and that's where MILF came out of, because they're the same letters in different order, you know. So anyway, the first thing I do is that, and I just tend to say it's like a little radio show on the internet that you can download out of iTunes just like a song for free and listen to like when you're driving to work. That's what I usually tell them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that about covered it, Marge.
Pretty much. No, it is. It's kind of hard sometimes. And I do it like so secondhandedly. I'll just mention it and go, yeah, I'm MILFcasting today. And people are like, what are you doing? I've had people come over when I'm recording and they just walk in and start talking. And I'll be like, you motherfucker.
Yeah, yeah.
Get the fuck out of here. I know you've heard me yell at people before. Mm-hmm. We had a family member over like a year ago when we just first started doing this again. And Mike told them not to walk into the house because I was recording. And there were no children here except for the one in my belly. And and I motherfucked a lot when they came in and started talking to me. Because I know he told them not to. And they're like, what is she doing? She's talking to her computer. The people live in there?
Yeah.
The people on the computer? Like, does she keep them in there?
Well, it's funny, too, because like you're in – I don't know what Michigan's like, but I would think California is much more up on this sort of shit than probably other states, you know what I mean? So like, yeah. I might get different responses here than you get there. I don't know. Is there any truth to that?
I don't think so. I like I said, it's just still incredibly baffling to me. It I would say it's more of an older crowd that seems to have difficulty wrapping their head around it. But
it's very LA to have a podcast.
Yes, it's oh definitely. Like for me, I am in most of my circles, which I have many very different from each other. Most of them are not in any way congruent. Most of them, like, just think that I'm this super nerd and don't have an idea, like, half the crap that I do on the side with any of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And they don't grasp any of it. So for me, I don't even, like, kind of explain it or do whatever. I just talk about it like, yeah, that's my thing. I'm not, don't even worry about it.
And it's funny, too, like, this happens with you as well. Like, you'll be going about your life, and somebody's like, I listen to the podcast. You're like, you listen? Like
yeah.
I didn't expect that from you. Like, I've got a coworker that listens to everything we do.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and it's like I didn't expect that would ever happen, but he likes it, and he enjoys it, and he smiles when he talks about it. So that makes me – I'll say Chet because he likes his name being said on the show. But
Hi, Chet.
Yeah. Ooh, you got a shout-out from Heather.
What's up?
And she's like laying there with her like jammy shirt on, her hair's all wet. She's got one leg in the air now, and she made a face. Okay. So, is there a fifth part to this question?
No, you kind of actually answered it with your first one. So, you're good. Solid.
Okay. Is it your turn now?
I don't know.
Okay.
You're in charge.
I'll give
remember?
You one. Oh, yeah. Answers the questions.
Awesome ass.
What has changed most about you over the past 7 years, aside from your family situation? I mean, like, It's been a long time. This is a big chunk of your life we've been doing this. What do you think has changed the most about you personally?
I'm just kind of finally figured out who I am, and I'm fine with it. I think I probably went through one of the most crazy transitions of my life when we started the show, and to even right now. I mean, I have a new baby, and I have a kid in high school. So my life is kind of bonkers, and I didn't ever anticipate it being like this at all. But I think over the last at least 2 to 3 years specifically, I've just kind of, I mellowed out a lot, which is probably like the most ridiculous thing nobody believes listening to the show right now. Mm-hmm. But I have. I've mellowed out a lot. And actually, my life at home, I'm kind of the serious one. I'm the iron fist with the kids. I mean, I'm the one who's always like structured and organized and keeps the wheel going. So that's actually comfortable for me, because I do well in organized chaos. But there was a period of time where things were just chaos. And I'm just in a really good place now. I'm happy as I can ever remember being.
Well, that's awesome, because we talked earlier about how, like, the silliness is very much you. Like, it really is. And me too, like, I'm a giant kid. Like, I don't know if that comes across the show. Like, I talk about geeky stuff, but I'm a giant kid. I live for childish things. I'm sitting next to, like, 1,000 action figures right now. I just, like, this shit makes my day. You have grown up a lot. That's the biggest difference I see, like, along the lines of what you're saying. That doesn't mean you've lost your mentality, which is very Peter Pan of you. And I think that you and I both are like that. We're very Peter Pan mentality. Like, I'm very much a dreamer. I'm still, like, pursuing dreams I had as a child and will until I die. It's just what I was here to do. Like, I don't care. So I think you can grow up. Like, I have a very respectable day job. And I have, you know, a home, and like I have normal shit, like very adult
responsibilities.
Yeah, but I did it all in a Spider-Man t-shirt, you know, like it's you
it's
can
finding
do
a
that.
Balance.
Yeah, but yeah. You have grown up a lot, and that doesn't mean that the way you act on the show doesn't mean you're not any less grown up, if that makes sense.
No, I just like to have fun when I can.
Yeah.
I'm serious when I need to be, and I'm not when I don't have to be.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one time where I don't have to be serious at all, so you get to deal with all of my shit.
Yeah, it's like a vacation from life.
It is. It's my little escapism.
All right, what's my next one?
Okay, this one is awesome because I wrote it. When are you going to start awesome original art for the show? Like, you've done stuff for the lamb, you do stuff for everybody, you sent me awesome stickers, but, I mean, when are you going to do shit for the show?
That's a good question. Now, the lamb was, like, an opportunity to do something very fast that I could get out at a good time in this year that could get me a little notice. You know, it was an opportunity. Like, I just did another logo job for someone else, and I'm starting to get stuff slowly out. The fact is, I actually have some backed up ordered artwork that I've, like, I'm trying to get my own stuff done and, like, do stuff that people would pay me for. So the goal for this whole year, I talked about my wife about this in January, was to spend the year putting together a portfolio and then taking my art kind of out in the world and trying to, like, sell it or distribute it, prints and stickers and pins and all that fun stuff. So I hadn't thought about it because I love our logo a lot, but if we come up with something, I will definitely make MILFcast a priority. How's that?
That would be brilliant.
Okay.
That's kind of how I am with the social media, though. I'm like, I have other stuff I have to do before this. Like, I hate it. I have 3 Instagrams. One's for an orange juice company. One is for a divorce attorney. And then the other one is for MILFcast. And I hate every time when I pass by, I'm like, God damn, Instagram, I've got to go on here and type sad stuff up. I got to be excited about orange juice today.
You know what sucks, too, is like, okay, so I stumbled into digital art. And it takes me a long time because I'm still learning. I'm getting faster. But, like, I don't have the proper tools to do what I want to do. So, like, a drawing that I do right now could take me 3 days to 2 weeks. If I had the proper tools, I could be doing them in a matter of an hour or two.
Wow.
So I'm drawing everything with my finger on my laptop pad.
That's bizarre. Yeah. I can't even, like, wrap my head around that. But I can't draw a circle with a pencil. So
I'm in the process of saving up to buy either an iPad Pro with the Apple Pen or a Cintiq, Wacom Cintiq tablet that I can actually draw directly onto the screen. And they're just very expensive. So I have a family that I have to take care of first. And when my wife gives me the thumbs up or I get my bonus later this year, I'm going to go buy that shit. And I'm going to get very prolific very fast.
Boner.
All right, I have a question for you. I have a question for you, Heather.
What is your question, Kai?
Heather, let me ask you this.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Most people who listen to the show regularly could probably recite the opening of the show verbatim and probably do it with me. You were kind of doing it with me on video today.
Yes, you saw it. Dumbass. Okay, good.
Okay, so why are you incapable of doing the opening or the segues of the show?
After our last show in particular, I was thinking about this. Uh-huh. Oh, shit. I just heard a boom, and then now there's a baby crying. I'm off duty.
You blew up your baby.
My poor baby.
Desperate to get on the show lately.
Dude, he wants to be on everything. He thinks he's the boss, and he's right. I answer to everyone.
Do we need to check on the baby for real?
Mike's here.
Yeah, but we heard a boom and a baby crying, and maybe we should check out Mike.
He falls a lot. He's trying to walk right now. So
okay, all right.
It's seriously, it's fine.
Okay.
If it's not, he'll come get me.
Okay.
The show. Okay, so it's because I think I'm just so programmed to wait for my cue to respond to you. Mm-hmm. I mean, people always say our banter is very natural. Well, so is the way that I interact with you. It's I don't know a way to actually describe it, but that's exactly what I'm sitting there just waiting for. So for me to do it, I know exactly what you're going to say. I know exactly what all these intros are. Like when the show's going on, like just when we were doing it, I can sit there and do it. But if you ask me to just do it right there, it's probably not going to happen. Like I can't quote movies correctly. Songs I've listened to 500 million times, I still sing the wrong lyrics to them. Mm-hmm. It's this weird just thing that I can't do. However, it's not like I couldn't host or lead or do anything like that. It's just your thing. Mm-hmm. So if you did want to try to switch the show again one day, I don't think last time I made the proper effort.
I feel like we have to try it now.
Yeah, I think that we should try it, and I think I would make the proper effort this time to try and do it.
I want to try and do this.
At least because I want to prove everybody fucking wrong.
Okay, prove them wrong. Do the opening show right now. Ready? 3, 2, 1.
See, can't do it now. I can sing the song. Do you like movie podcasts hosted by inebriated people? I know. Hello, and welcome to the MILFcast.
This is...
Kai.
I'm going to make you fucking do it.
And with me
is...
This is Heather.
Yeah, maybe we should
switch
the show.
We don't do movie reviews. No, we get together and deal with that shit. Yeah. I could do it if I prepare myself beforehand, but you have to get amped up before you even start it, and this is the 100th time you've done it.
I take like a deep breath. Like it's for me, it's like riding a bike now. Sometimes I can't remember it, and I know that if I just start, it'll come out. Like, it's like, so embedded in me. Even, like, the it's all embedded inflections at this point.
Mm-hmm. Well, and even that on my response part, I try not to give you the same solid fucking answer every time, because it would be really easy to do so. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I don't give you an answer at all, just like the Heather, you know, at the end of the show, am I supposed to give you something? Sometimes I sit there and want to plan ahead to have something good, but usually those suck.
Yeah.
Much better if I just say something stupid.
By the way, that has turned into like, you know, I liked the outtakes for a while. We don't always get great outtakes. I think for the most part, they're pretty good. And honestly, like I said, I'm being a little more like less caring about fine tooth combing the show. So like if we have something that messes up, I'll just make a note to go to that point in the show and check it, make sure to get it out. Or if you say something funny when we're off, I'll just look at the time coding and like try to find the moment when it happened. And I'll plug it on the tack it on the back end. But, like, at some point, you said something in the closing music, and it was funny to me, and so we made that a thing. And I don't even remember when, but if you go back, that wasn't always here. That has turned into one of the banter as the last song. And the thing that bums me out is, like, in my head, I wonder how many people, when they hear us start doing plugs, turn the show off. Because I'm guilty, yeah. I'm guilty of that with some shows. But we always have this thing at the end where Heather goes over, talks over the music, and we have this like ridiculous thing that happened. It's one of my favorite parts of the show. And then we almost, I would say 95% of the time, there is shit after the end music that you should listen to.
Yep. Yep. Sometimes it's my favorite part.
Mine too. But like, I love that little like that's my favorite moment with you, is that little moment right when I say goodbye and we're like heading out, you know. And sometimes I like it when you don't, like last one, you don't even understand that, like, so when you're looking at time coding on a podcast, Heather can see my hands. There's like here, you know, all the things are lined up, all the sound things. And so like you have this long to play the music.
To say something.
Yeah. So, and I usually start playing the music as I'm saying, you know, that whole thing I do at the end where like beers be drank, movies be seen. So it fades in and there's usually about this long. So on the last episode, you went on a fucking tangent.
Yeah. Oh, I figured you'd just cut me off.
I did. I edited you. I totally edited you. But then the funny thing is I could just tack you right back into the end of the show and let you keep going. And it ends up being really funny. And I love that about you.
Yeah. Well, that's why I figure if it's kind of like for the most part, it's okay for me to have like a note, but if I sit there and actually plan anything out to say, it sucks. It's stupid and I hate it. And that's how it is with the end too. I'm like, oh, that's a thing. Like, I have no idea what I'm going to do today. I haven't even thought about it like at all. So it's probably going to be terrible or hilarious, but there'll be no in between. But, or you just might end with fart noises. I don't know.
That's possible too. Yeah.
Today I've been in a fart noise mood. It I think it's more fun to kind of suit that, but that's also kind of more my role on the show, is to be more spontaneous.
Mm-hmm. I know, you took that from me. Another thing I'd like to try again at some point was the speed cast. So like we brought Steve Bush on one time.
That was fun.
And we tried to do the show as quick as possible. Like, so we play the bumper, it's like MILFcast, Kai, hi Heather, you know, we were incapable of doing it to its full potential. I wonder if we could do this whole show in like 5 minutes, and I want to do it. So at some point, let's go back and try again. We'll try again with you hosting the entire show, and we'll do one where, and we won't switch personalities. I think at one time we were switching personalities too, like you hosted and pretend to be me, and then I was like Heather, and I was giving you hell for a change, and like, we're not going to do that. We'll just switch. You can host, and we'll try and do the speed cast again.
Okay.
Sound good?
That sounds good. Yeah. The speed cast was fun.
It was, but like...
I don't know how it was to everybody else, but it was so much fun to do.
It was. And Steve Bush was perfect for it. The problem was, like, we allowed ourselves to talk at points. And I think if we really hunker down and focus, we could do this whole show in, like, a really short amount of time. It'd be really funny.
Or we'll just like it and everybody else can suffer through it.
It'd be like,
for 5 minutes.
What'd you see? The Hangover. Like it? Yep. Steve. You know, like, done. Done. Like, one word. Yeah.
How are we doing today? I'm not. Goodbye. Thank you.
Mo with Heather. A second with Heather. Hi.
I wouldn't even say hi. It would be...
All right, what's your next question for me?
This one is something that I have always wondered. Is Spidey, and has Spidey always been your favorite, and why? Because it's just one of those unspoken things that we've always known about you, but I don't know any backstory behind it at all. Like, has this been something that you just adored since you were, like, little? Like, for me, that's how Batman was.
Yeah, I had, you know, I had a ton of Star Wars toys, and I had a ton of superhero toys. Like, the DC Super Friends, and then there was the old Spider-Man cartoon that's been, like, become a meme now. There was the 60s Spider-Man, and then there was the Spider-Man with Iceman and, oh, God, what was the other girl's name? Anyway... those cartoons were, like, so huge in my childhood. And Batman was the other one because, like, I grew up on, like, watching Adam West from a very young age. And then I was 10 when the 89 Batman hit, and it was the biggest thing in the world. So for me, it's always been, like, Spider-Man, Batman, but Spider-Man's my dude. I think Batman is cooler than – I think Marvel's better than DC. Spider-Man's best, but Batman's cooler than everybody else in the Marvel universe. And then DC's just at the back in general. Anyway, so I grew up, and then I had a love – I wanted to be an artist growing up. You know, and I, the very early examples of me starting to draw was me mimicking comic books. So I've read comic books since I was 4, and I go through little stages. So I read till I was about, you know, 12, and then I actually got back into reading when I was like 17, like regularly, buying up regularly, and in like the middle of the, like the clone saga going on with Spider-Man. And when I turned 18, the first thing I did is I went out and got a Spider-Man tattoo. This is the first tattoo I ever got. It's a very special tattoo to me. The guy that I got it with actually passed away, and my daughter's named after him. Anyway, so I have a lot of, like, and, you know, I got to be in the first Spider-Man movie as an extra, and I have, like, a lot of ties to him, but, like, a lot of it goes back to the character. There's something that is rich about the way Spider-Man is written, and this is all Stan Lee, that is absent in other characters. And the thing is, I think at the base is the fact that he's relatable. Like, Batman is very relatable until you realize he's still a billionaire. You know what I mean?
So, it makes him awesome, but it's not
so,
the
yeah.
same.
So to any kid, like a guy that puts on a suit and people think he's really fucking cool as he swings through the sky and then he goes home and he's a total fucking dork, I think everyone can kind of relate with that. The same way you relate with Hulk in that we both have like very normal, meek personalities and can turn into total rage monsters. But again, he's a rage monster. For whatever reason, there's something more relatable to this kid. He was also the kid. You know, like Thor's a man, Cap's a man, Iron Man's a man. It's in his fucking title. Even though it's not Spider-Boy, I mean, he's very much a teenager. That's why the Tom Holland works as Spider-Man now, because he was a boy. He's a teenager. And the last thing I think that really connected with Spider-Man was the fact that, you know, it's become a bit cliche and overstated to the point, like, people didn't always know the saying, but, you know, Sam Raimi popularized it and has been beat to death. The whole great power comes great responsibility. That is a very important thing. There's a guy in there that has these powers and goes through something very traumatic when he's young and can turn around and do something very bad and chooses to do the responsible thing and fight crime. I like that when I see that in stories. I came out of a very traumatic childhood, and there was a time in my life when I wanted to blow up and set the world on fire, as the Joker would say, you know what I mean? And I have the capability. I have a lot of anger issues. You would never know it because I've controlled them well. I would not want to be around me if I lost my shit. But I, as an almost 40-year-old man now, I look at my life and I go, everything people told me I was going to be, I have proven them wrong. I'm a good dad. I didn't do anything bad to my kids. I loved my wife. I've bought a home. I have a job for a long time. I'm very stable. Like, I didn't do any of the things people said I was going to fall victim to because I'm better than that. And that's my superhero thing. And it mimics, for me, in a lot of ways, the qualities of Spider-Man. And he was – I don't know if that makes sense.
No, I get it.
You're smiling at me.
Stop. Because I love you.
Yeah, he has meaning to me. I don't know if people think it's like a gimmick with me. Like, he is very special to me. And not only that, not only is it like, was he a big part of me learning how to draw? Todd McFarlane's like Spider-Man of the early 90s was a huge thing that I mimic to learn how to draw cartoons and people and weird poses and things. Like, McFarlane was insane and his run was insane. But like, he's just, I don't know, man. I love him. He's not a gimmick for me. He means a lot to me.
That's why I asked you that, because I think that people – well, I think people assume those kinds of things. Like, at this point, like you said, people call you Kiderman, blah, 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 blah. Kiderman. and that kind of thing. So it's like it's stuff with me, with people sending me stuff with Ripley and Sarah Connor. And it's not just a superficial BS thing. There's a lot more behind all of it. There's reasons that these fictional characters have been your heroes. They're more than just – some little thing that you're just like, that was really cool. Yeah.
Oh, dude, and I even married a hot ginger. Like, I've copied everything. I got Spider-Man's middle name and last name, for Christ's sake. Like, there's so many fucking comparisons you can make, you know? It's ridiculous.
I think it's fantastic. Magical.
I feel weird now. I feel like that was, like, therapy. All right.
I had a good question. Na-na-na-na-na-na.
I have to look at her. It, like, distracts me sometimes. She's the worst. All right, here, I'm going to give you a question now. By the way, I'm sweating because it's, like, 104 degrees in my garage, in my little station that I've set up here, so I apologize. Why do you think, of all the people you know that do this thing that we do, we clicked? Why did you want to do this thing with me? This is a question you stole from me and put earlier, so it looks like I'm copying you. But
you
actually,
are copying
I
me.
Wrote it first. Yes.
It doesn't matter who wrote it first. It matters who said it first.
So go ahead, tell them why you love me. Tell them how long you've been in love with me.
Since I first found your blog and you had some question about movie titles regular movie titles that would double really well as porn titles. Mm-hmm. And at the time when we started, I did a little bit before you, and I actually did do a podcast before you, mm-hmm. which is one of the reasons you talked to me and asked me is because I'd done it for a while. Mm-hmm. And I had two different websites before anything else.
Mm-hmm. The Mobsters?
Yep, Mobsters, and before that, Motor City Reviews. Mm-hmm. So I've been writing for a while at this point, and it was a hobby, but I kind of wanted it to be more. But at the same time, I was like you, where I didn't want to turn into, like, this snobby person who was just like everybody yeah. else. There wasn't anything unique or different. I found myself writing reviews that were just, like, I was, like, straining to give my explanation about things. I love movies. I'm a movie fan. I don't want to sit here and pick apart every freaking thing I see in a movie. And if I am talking about it, it's not out of hatred, usually. It's different. But I got to that, and I'm like, this dude is funny! Mm-hmm. And my response was, like, 100 movies. Other people had, like, 3 or 4. I put, like, 100 freaking movies. And it
Give
was,
me a
like,
few.
Step Brothers.
You got a few?
Oh, God.
Because you couldn't change them. The idea was that you couldn't change them. It was the actual title of the movie, but you could put it on a porn, and it would work.
Yeah. So Dick, Deep Impact was
Dick.
One. Dick, yeah.
Mud.
I can't think of any right now. But anyway, the point was we had like a stepbrothers moment after that. And it was like, did we just become best
yeah,
friends?
Totally.
And then from then on, there was just like, I mean, there were some of the guys like Red from Anomalous Material and stuff like that were cool and been around forever. And Dylan too, but Dylan was still a little bit more just mysterious as Fletch.
he hadn't gone full Morpheus. He was still full Morpheus. He hadn't gone Joel.
There were so many people that still like used like different faces and names and wouldn't say who they were, which was hilarious.
Oh yeah, the guy Red you talked about. His partner on the blog he wrote for went by Caster
Troy.
For years, we didn't know his real like. He's an Asian dude. Like, that blew my mind. I'm
oh,
like,
oh,
like,
yeah, he's awesome.
You're
he's
a normal
so
Asian.
Awesome.
But he wouldn't give up his – he would not give up his identity for, like, ever. It was weird.
It was like – well, I knew before some people, but it still was, like, I think 3 or 4 years before I even knew. But those guys were, like, our homies from the start, too. They were cool. But yeah, so when Kai said he was doing a podcast, he actually asked me – for help and suggestions and that kind of thing. And I gave him information, and that's, I think, how I ended up being the guest on the show. And then I don't remember when you actually asked me to be on, and I was like, yay!
I just, it might have been, we had nice interaction. That show sucked because, A, you can hear me, like, we've replayed it, like, about, I think at 50 in or something, we took a week off, so I reposted episode 1. You can hear my voice shake just a little bit right up front, which never happens anymore. Like, I just don't give a shit anymore. You can hear me trying to figure out ways to segue it. So it's like, okay, now we're going to do this. And there's no Steve Bush to throw in there. You know, it was just like, it's just words. So, and it was, it wasn't fluent. And then, like, the other thing was I'm just asking you questions. And I realized, like, this is great. You can do a back and forth like this. You can do this sort of podcast. You can do this sort of radio show. But radio shows typically have people to bounce off of each other, or they have callers. I just thought, like, I don't need a partner. I almost need, like, a sidekick. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'm like, you don't have to do anything. I just need someone else. Like, if this guy's being boring, I need someone that I could bounce off of to help me pick it up or something like that. It just, the format didn't seem right. So I thought, with you coming on after the first episode, which I learned it from doing it with you, and because we clicked, I thought it would be good to have you on. And then it's morphed into this, and now it's like a jail sentence.
You want to know what's funny, too, is when I go on as a guest, like on the lamb, when there's a round table of people, I have habitual just behavior of dip-a-dip to Jay sometimes. I'm like, yeah. And I find myself, like, just kind of yipping at his heels, like, I'm not his fucking co-host, shut up.
You, like, you have to fill that role on podcast now?
Not necessarily. Well, part of it is because I really do like Jay, and I have fun interacting with him and talking to him about anything, so sometimes I just want to talk to Jay. Mm-hmm. So I will do that. I don't do it on every occasion or anything like that, but sometimes I find myself just habitually starting to do it, mm-hmm. because It's my role, yo.
Tell, hey, we're about at the final question here. So I want to go back to one you asked me and get your opinion on it. What do you think other people's opinions of our podcast are? That was an interesting question, and I don't know if I got yours on that.
No, and it's because I think some people just don't like us at all. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, I get that. I notice that a little more because I do guest on other shows a little bit more frequently, which I do mostly for our show because I really don't have time to do it. I love doing The Lamb. It's fun. But aside from that, anytime I guest on anybody else's shows, I'm just like, what am I doing?
By the way, you got to give context. So there's the Large Association of Movie Blogs, of which Heather and I used to be members. For anyone that's new to the show, they have a weekly podcast that they bring on several guests, and we will often go on there as guests. They are home to, what, like...
everyone.
25... several thousand movie blogs and podcasts all kind of come there as a group, and we were members, are members. I think we're still members, so...
Officially, yeah, I guess.
I think the podcast...
We're alumni, bitches.
Yeah, we're old school. Dylan's the fucking founder. That's why we bring up Dylan so much, and that's how we met him, basically.
Pretty much. Yeah, So I go on there and I get to see a lot of like newer people and that kind of thing now. And I can tell some people don't like me. Mm-hmm. Like I can tell.
Why can't you tell when you look at me?
I can tell that you love me a lot. I'm magical. Yeah. No, I can tell people don't like me sometimes. Shit. And I think that some people think because we are silly and we are funny that we're not smart either. We're just not pretentious.
We're very nepotisms.
No, we don't take ourselves seriously. We do know what we're talking about, though. And there are times we'll sit here and you will sit here and talk about movies that are very, very serious and artsy-fartsy shit. Mm-hmm. But we also don't sit there and just rip movies apart for the sake of feeling better about it either. And I feel like a lot of people do that. Plus, we swear not as much as we used to. But we have fun. We're the party kids, and I think a lot of people think that we're assholes.
Well, yeah, you know what?
There's a group of people that do.
Yeah, but I think that gets kind of back to what I said. But at the same time, some of that's personality shit. Like, you don't like my personality, absolutely, you're not going to want to listen to my show. I'll listen to like some talk radio when I come in to work, and then during work I usually throw in, like, I'll listen to sports talk a lot because I like football, except during baseball season. It drives me crazy. I can't stand baseball talk. But basketball, football, I love it. And so, like, I'll just put it on in the background of my office during the day. And, like, there's a guy that I like on TV that has a radio show. He's not great on the radio. I don't think it's that great a show. Then there's a guy that comes on at noon that's, they're like kind of like the Us of sports talk. I that's a good comparison. It's the Dan Lebatard show. They do theirs out of Miami. They don't take it seriously. It's not really sports. The theme is sports, but they'll be talking about everything else and, like, ripping on his co-host the whole show. I like listening to them. They're fun. There's a guy that comes on at 3 in the afternoon out here in L.A., Roger Lodge. He's the host of that old fucking show. What was it? Not Singled Out. Blind Date. Do you remember the show Blind Date?
Yes!
Okay.
Yes!
It was the guy that hosted Blind Date, and he does Angels – baseball talk or sports talk, but he's big on the Angels in the afternoon. And I can't fucking stand the sound of his voice. And it's not anything against the guy. He fucking rubs me raw and I cannot fucking listen to him. So great. I don't listen to a show. I switch over and start listening to music or other shit. I think that comes into play even with what we do. There's people that think we're long winded or we're too silly or we don't take it serious or whatever it is, or they don't like the sound of my fucking voice. Fine.
Yeah, I can't stand the sound of my voice. I don't know how anyone can listen to me. Seriously can't.
Yeah,
so I get it.
Yeah, I hate my voice more than anyone's when I'm listening. But and to speak to the other thing, I didn't get a college degree, and I work as an engineer. I'm not fucking dumb. Now, I'm under the tutelage of an engineer. I'm not doing all the engineering. But I was brought on as a staff engineer at my job that I work at. And I'm no dummy, you know? I have a wealth of knowledge. It's not what I choose to put out on the internet. I'm sorry. Do you want me to do my NPR cast? You know, like, what exactly. do you want? IQ
it's like
cast?
I don't. It's like if you don't post something on Facebook about your political opinion, suddenly you don't have one. If you don't talk about these things, then suddenly you don't have opinions. It's not how it is, and it doesn't have to be that way. Mm-hmm. This show is not that for us. I don't want to listen to somebody else be super serious in my spare time mm-hmm. about movies.
Yes.
It's not fun. It's supposed to be, you can talk knowledgeably about something and still be entertaining at the same time. Well, for some people, that may be their cup of tea. Me, okay. I don't give a shit.
Funny, you said cup of tea, and you mentioned him earlier, so I'm just going to say it. I would never do a podcast like the Mad Hatter, who is another podcaster out in the world. That's the kind we specifically do not do. The guy does a good show. I mean,
he does. I've been on his show.
I don't want to bash him and not give him a little credit. Like, he's got a good show. And honestly, I've been on the show twice, I think. Once or twice. Anyway, and we don't speak now, and that's a separate issue. But I will say, give credit where it's due, you can do that kind of show and still be fine. It doesn't mean there's anything wrong with the idea behind the show, but it's a lot of it comes down to personality. And at the end of the day, just like Netflix movies or food in a shopping store or the grocery store, you like certain things and you don't like others. And if people don't like what we do, it's fine.
Exactly.
It's fine. They're dumb.
And definitely that part. That is one of those things that I always wonder, though, when somebody does have a more serious show and they ask me to go on as a guest. Mm-hmm. Like, what exactly are you expecting? Do you want me to come in with my hands tied?
Yeah.
Because I can behave myself if I choose to. It's like, am I going to go, you know, do something for my kid's school? Am I going to go there and just be like, fucking shit, fucking Dennis Farina, everyone? No, I'm not going to. I'm going to be appropriate for the scenario because I'm an adult.
Yes.
But I always wonder, I'm like, why would you want me on your show when you know what I do?
Mm-hmm.
I'm here to fuck shit up. That is my job.
All right. This is going to bring us to the end of Series 7. I would like to play a little message right now from our good friend who ends all our segments with his wonderful bumper, Steve Bush. Steve, this is a message from him.
My favorite part of the show, the last 100 episodes, is the amazing celebrity appearances. I mean, you've had Kermit the Frog, Christopher Walken come on multiple times. The Buttercream Gang has come on and reenacted scenes. Kate Winslet's reenacted scenes. Absolutely incredible. Morgan Freeman, congrats, man.
All right, thank you to Steve for sending that to us. Thank you to all our friends that sent us little messages. We're going to actually tag more on the end of the show. We really appreciate you guys taking the time and doing that for us, and we appreciate that you've been with us for so long. To all the listeners that do like what we do and actually listen to this shit and don't think we're fucking weirdos, thank you, guys. You know, this show is nothing if nobody's listening. Heather and I would still probably do it, but we hope there's some of you out there that, like, this makes your commute to work a little bit better. I live near L.A. I know what it likes. It sucks, and I hope this helps. Heather, I want to thank you most of all. It's been wonderful doing this with you and getting to know you so well for 7 years, and I'm proud of you and, like, how far you've come in your life, and I like doing this, and I hope we do 100 more. So, and I said doo-doo.
Doo-doo! I love you. So, that is I think, the biggest reason that we came back to it anyway. I just missed Kai a lot. I just miss sitting here talking about shit with Kai.
Yeah,
and getting
fun.
Picked on.
Yeah.
I love it.
But you're supposed
to. So everyone that bitches about Kai being mean to me, I like it. So shut up.
She begs for it.
That's right. Come here for fun.
Do you want to say? Do you want to say anything in wrapping up our 100 episode feelings?
Honestly,
That's right when your connection goes.
I still think it's weird that people do.
That's right when. Hey, wait. Your connection went sour. Like, seriously, right when you went to say what you were going to say, it went out. So just say something now.
So it wasn't even Kai's fault. He didn't shut me up. I swear. I don't really know why people listen to us sometimes. It kind of shocks me that people do. I think it's awesome because it is. It's just us bullshitting is what I feel like most of the time. It's awesome. But thank you, everybody that has. And thank you for all of our friends. It's been the most awesome thing coming back is realizing how many cool people we've met over the years and how fucking great it's been. And it just makes me want to do it for 100 more. Mostly so I can annoy you, Kai.
Not to mention, you know what, when we came back, all the people that, like, were like, yeah, fucking come back. Like, we want to, and started listening again. You know, people could move on from shit. You know what I mean? Stop. Okay, this is weird. You have your cat's crotch in my face, so I don't know which to call pussy.
It's the only other female in the house, and her name is Steve.
We can't do video shows anymore. Okay, so this brings us to the end of the show. We're not doing the game this week. All that stuff will be back. We typically do a few plugs. Heather, rifle them off. Where can they find us on the social medias?
You can find MILFcast, a.k.a. Man, I Love Films, on Facebook. You can also follow us on Instagram at MILFcast. You can find Kai on Twitter twatting at Kiderman. You can find me sometimes there at Heather underscore Kenobi. And I think that's mostly it.
Okay, yeah, come check out my artwork over on Instagram at The Amazing Kiderman, at The Amazing Kiderman. That's it. I could do this all day, 100 more episodes, but there's bits we drank, moves we've seen. Go do that. We'll see you next time. Heather, my favorite part.
That's the fart episode.
That's what you got. That's it. All that build up of how great that is, you go fart episode on me.
100 is the fart episode. That was one of my favorite things that we would do, too. The Donger episode? That was one of the things that I missed that we would sometimes do, too, in the older shows, where we would just get stuck on something ridiculous and we'd have the boob show.
The problem was every episode was like boobs or ass or tits, so it was always the tit show or the boob show or the dick show, so we had to stop doing that.
Yeah, but those were fun. The idea of it was fun and funny.
The idea of everything we do is funny. It's the like performance itself is where it lacks.
I know. Like half the stuff is fun, but it doesn't always translate.
Hey, this is Scott from He Shot Cyrus. May it rest in peace. And frankly, my dear, may it also rest in peace. Just want to congratulate you guys on episode 100 and let you know I'm starting a brand new podcast called Mil Milfcast. Man, I love films. Cast. Congratulations. Love you guys.
It's the fart show.
It's the fart show?
Yeah, it's the fart show.
All
right. I like our theme shows. This one's a fart show.
Hey, Kai and Heather. This is your co-host, Dylan, wishing you a happy 100. Heather, I want you to sing on every episode going forward, bar none. Thank you. Kai, I hosted a podcast for over 200 episodes, so you still got a ways to go to beat me in something else. Keep it up. Love you guys. Bye-bye.
DJ's fantastical.
Yeah.
DJ Robot, then Diesel.
Hey, everybody. This is Jason from The Lair of the Unwanted. Nolan is out on assignment, so he couldn't join me, but I have Koki here. Hi, Koki.
Let's hurry this up. I'm missing CSI.
Okay, here's a special 100th episode of the MILFcast edition of The Netflix Game. Koki, just try to guess what movie I'm talking about based on the clue, okay?
Okay.
This early 1990s drama stars Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman, and everybody in the known universe has seen this movie.
Days of Thunder.
No.
Eyes Wide Shut.
That wasn't early 90s.
Edge of Tomorrow.
What? Nicole Kidman wasn't even in
Risky Business?
Are you just naming Tom Cruise movies?
The Others.
He wasn't even in that.
Weekend at Bernie's.
That doesn't even have either of them in it.
Okay, I'll take a hint. Let me ask Nolan.
He's not even here.
Oh, I like him better than you.
Yeah, everyone likes Nolan better than me. The answer was, of course, Far and Away.
Oh, never heard of it.
Yeah, me neither. Anyway, happy 100th episode, Kai. And in Heather speak, the clouds of fluffiness will eat marshmallows of doom.